It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
All right, thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
You thought you were going to get rid of me already so fast, didn't you? No. I just finished my formal broadcast, and the next 2 hours is an open time slot. So I just, you know what? I just started grabbing people and just dragging them in here. You know, I grabbed that. What is it as you do with the vaudeville act, right? With the cane.
Let go of my ankle.
No, I don't know. I don't know if it's the ankle. I think I got everybody around the neck with a cane. Come on, get in here. Hey there. Oh, gentlemen, good evening. Good evening. Mr. Rowe, a Mad Painter. I think Deacon has joined us too. Let me check the lineup here. Yeah, we got Deacon here too. I'm trying to grab Jacker. I don't know where Jacker's at.
Hi, Jacker. Come on down. You're the next contestant on John Wayne's show.
Flat Earth ass in here, man.
Well, if I can get him at it here, I'm working on it. So he's being called now. He's being summoned. If he arrives, well, time will only tell. But I think, I don't know, I think the last 2 hours, my broadcast was pretty good. Got a lot of good feedback in the chat log. And, you know, hey, man, we got to get the truth out there for what it is. Even though it may not be a pretty truth, but we got to at least speak it. So any thoughts, men?
Yeah, I like your moral outrage, especially when you go against authority like that, the illegal or immoral use of authority in your outrage is really good. I enjoyed that. I listened to that. That was good stuff, man.
Well, you know, it's sad to see, you know, I mean, I'd say one of the most horrific incidents I'd ever seen was the beating of Kelly Thomas over there in California, a homeless veteran. White male. I mean, these two officers literally bludgeoned the man to death, and it makes me sick, man. You know, there's good officers out there without a doubt, but all it takes is one or two to completely and totally upend a department. But nonetheless,
well, what people don't realize, for every one officer that does something like that, there's 100 out there who is doing their job the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the focus is on the one that's doing it the wrong way. That's the big problem.
Absolutely. You know, and But that's the thing, you know, I mean, there is, in our modern society, you know, good news isn't spoken of that often. It's, you know, all people want bad news, you know, that's what draws the ear for whatever reason. You know, I don't know what it is.
Give me bad news that Henley does.
Right.
I don't know what the name of it is, but that's what he says in it.
Right. Well, what is it? You know, do you want the good news or do you want the good news or the bad news first? You know, usually, well, let's get through the bad news first, you know, obviously, and then hopefully you pick me back up with some good news. But I don't know. It is what it is. I mean, you guys can, you know, I don't know, throw some topics out there. I mean, I'm just, I could probably sit here and talk for the next few hours if you really wanted me to, but I just want to say welcome, everybody. Say hi, everybody.
And we're all damn aliens that are supposed to save us are.
Well, aliens, well, they sure as the hell aren't the ones coming from the south that are going to save us. I'll tell you that. The border, southern border, you know, pun intended, joke, laugh.
We're just right. Tonight, aren't we? Just say we're full of life.
Well, yeah, to a point, you know, but, you know, it really kind of weighed heavy on my heart because right before the broadcast, I found out that Bud passed away, and he was a pretty, you know, implemental staple figure in my childhood. You know, he was the sheriff of the county, he was my dad's boss, and he was an outright upstanding man. And,
how was he?
Oh, I think he was in his 80s. So he died of old age. You know, lived to a ripe old age and passed normally and naturally. He didn't take no shots. Thank God. But, you know, it's just one of them things. And, was it yesterday? A guy that was the 911 coordinator dispatcher, he passed away too from the same department, you know. Retired. He died of natural causes too. He's a really bad diabetic. It's just, you know, it's kind of like hitting close to home, man. You know what I mean? These are a lot of people I grew up with. And, you know, it's like, wow. See everybody leaving now. I mean, it's something to behold. You know what I mean? The way I look at it, I think, you know, they speak of the rapture. And I think all the people being taken now are the ones being saved. Because of the things that are going to befall upon the earth. You know, I think these are the people that are actually being raptured, all of those that are passing away at this current time. But
I've never really understood the rapture. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't, you know. That's
in that Scoville Darby Bible. That's not really straight out biblical theological. That's their interpretation. They did that to sell Bibles in the 1800s, and that's how it sort of crept into the, you know, the Christian doctrine in the United States. It is in the Bible, but it's not like, I don't know, John, do you know what I'm talking about on that?
Right. Well, I mean, you know, like the all of a sudden everybody will be called into the air all at one, you know, the twinkling of an eye and, you know, the snap of a finger. I don't, you know, meet Father there. No, I don't think so. I don't think in such a form. You know, look at all the people that are dying now. I think it would take more or less, you know, precedent in some form of manner like that. You know, let's say, by God, people die across the world every day, all over the place. But I think those getting out of here now are the lucky ones compared to those who will have to be, you know, that'll remain here and go through the trials and tribulations that are to come.
Trucker Gerald would like to join us.
Okay, right on. I'll add him. I got to find him here on the context. Password? Yeah. What's the password, Gerald?
It's scheduled as a round table, but I'll join you. No, this is Robbie show. I can't even think of the name of the show, but he's off for the next week or 2 weeks.
Here he is. Trucker Gerald, I'm getting ready to add you. So,
by the way, John, I remember you mentioned last hour about that underwear bomber. I happen to have some friends in the Dutch Marechaussee, which is the Netherlands military police. And I had just happened to be visiting an undisclosed location, having a conversation with one of my friends. And I asked him, I said, what was the deal with that military or that underwear bomber anyway. And he said, well, it was apparently it was an escort from the United States State Department that, you know, they filmed the whole thing. And the guy that they he was escorted on by a State Department official from the United States, you know, and he was under escort the entire time. So the entire story, the entire narrative of like, oh, he, you know, this guy, underwear bomber, just popped up and how did he get on the plane and nobody knew that, you know, that's all a big lie. I mean, the Dutch military knew about it. The Schiphol airport, they knew about it. He was escorted on by a guy with credentials, you know, and he had a camera and he was the guy was, you know, it was, so I don't know if. Somewhere there's a narrative like it was a drill or a training exercise or something, but that's a need to know. So you not having that need to know would be given, you know, because you're the public, would be given, let's say, whatever generic cover story there is. And of course they roll with it because you never let anything go to waste. So if they were to disguise the entire thing as an operation, a drill, like, well, if this really was a real thing, what's part of the drill is the public might find out. And how would they find out? How would we? So they pull the whole thing. They pull the drill as reality because that is the drill, right?
It's real. Right. Absolutely. Wow, trucker. Have you got your window out the phone? Have you got your phone out the window of your truck?
No, I do not. I am home.
Oh, well, maybe it's your AC unit or something.
Second for the mic to adjust. Trucker, go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, I think you might have an AC unit or something going on in the background, maybe. But I mean, it's not too bad now. When it first came on, I was like, wow. But you know. Could you imagine, Ro, sitting in the seat across from somebody and you're in a plane, you're in the air, and all of a sudden the guy's pants light up like a, you know, like a phosphorus. I mean, my God.
Light his underwear on fire. Now, the other thing that may have been the circumstances, it may not have even been a drill in that sense of the word. This may have been simply a botched custody transport. In other words, this guy may have been escorted onto the plane by the State Department. Guy's got credential. Okay, put him on the plane, please. Thank you. State Department guy doesn't really have his act together. Maybe sits a few things flirting with some girl or something, whatever. Kind of doesn't pay too much attention. The guy, let's say, is a... one of those guys from the Middle East, kind of like a refugee, you know, is not really up to the customs of the West. And I've seen this before where they'll like do something stupid, like stash a rolled cigarette and a lighter or some matches. And then when they think they can get away with it, it'll be innocent enough or innocuous enough as just wanting to have a puff of a cigarette. So that it may have been as benign as that. Like, you know, there'll be a guy, they might have him in custody, sitting in the back of a police van or in a courtroom holding cell, and he pulls out of his underwear a rolled cigarette and a pack of matches and takes a couple puffs off it real quick. And then, you know, they come running in, they grab it or whatever. It may have been as simple as that, where the guy was sitting in the back of the plane and thought he got a couple drags off a cigarette and everybody rolled with the, oh no, he's trying to bomb the plane there, you know, because everybody panicked. So it could have been something as simple as that. But the narrative kind of, you know, oh, that's something that'll scare the public. Let's roll with that. Yeah, yeah, that sounds good. Our bot bullshit.
Underwear out of explosives anyways.
What was that?
You can't come up with something a little better than making your underwear explode.
Well, that's exactly that story.
He was a perfect dupe. He looked like, you know, he looked like a Middle Eastern terrorist with his hair and, you know, and stuff like that. And he was a perfect dupe.
Yeah, he's not going to say anything. All he wanted to do is maybe have a cigarette, and they're like, yeah, you know. who knows, but it's not. Like, this guy didn't have a bomb in his underwear, and he's going to, I don't believe that he was going to blow up the plane anymore. And I believe most of these stories we hear about are made up.
Did you say he was being transferred?
Well, that was, yeah, he was a custody transport. Yes.
People who wanted, you know, had him decided they didn't want to transfer him, and that's a good reason to keep him.
Well, he wasn't being extradited. He was State Department custody transport. under supervision of the State Department being transferred from Schiphol, which is the Amsterdam airport, to the United States. And that's all that they knew. That was enough, that the guy had a credential, and that's all you need. If a guy has diplomatic immunity, he's a State Department official, you're not going to ask any more questions. You're going to be like, sure, whatever you need to do, dude. We have deals, you know. I mean, so if they came over here, Dutch military police, they go through the diplomat line. They have their diplomatic immunity, and they come through, and they do what they need to do if they're on official business, of course. And then, but it's usually pretty routine. You know, there's a couple little rubber stamps that they have to go through. But other than that, that's all part of the international treaties that they have.
It's about like the guys that they turned loose from Guantanamo Bay, and what was it? One of them wound up in Syria. The other one wound up in Iraq. And, well, you know, the third one wound up somewhere else over there. And then the fourth one, I think there were four of them, he was actually picked up on a facial recognition scanner at a mall in Houston, Texas. Do you remember that?
No, that one, I don't remember that.
You know, yes, three or four of these guys that Obama had released, you know, his buddies down there in Guantanamo.
Yeah, there was quite a few sightings of them people at the time.
Right.
Now, Guantanamo has been remodeled. If you look, you can see it actually even on the latest Google images. They built, you know, some new facilities down there. And so I don't know if they're occupied, what they're being used for, because, you know, the cover story right now is that they almost want to close it, right? There's nobody there. They're releasing these guys, and there's really no need to keep these guys anymore, what they was built for. So why would they be, you know, modernizing it and bringing even more facilities in there?
That's well, right. That goes on down there. It isn't just a prison. They do practice war games down there and stuff like that, or they used to. I've been there twice back 40 years ago.
They got a McDonald's down there.
Yeah. Well, they didn't back then.
I hopped on a Flight Simulator 2020 there the other night, and I flew from, what was it, I think, Miami International to Guantanamo Bay. It's about a 2-hour and 45-minute flight. I was kind of sitting there thinking, I was like, you know, who am I flying down here?
I think the closest Obama. I've been to Guantanamo is a place called Camagüey, I believe is the name. It's a city in Cuba, but I was on the other side of the fence. I wasn't on the Guantanamo side.
And yeah, I've never been on, you know, the Cuban part. Just in
nice. Cuba is nice, man. There's no trash. They don't have any plastic. There's no garbage. They recycle everything. And they, you know, the interesting, ironic thing is, they recycle stuff without recyclable materials, okay? You know, they don't have plastic and all these things. They recycle. No, they reuse, like, their cars from the 50s. If they have something they need, they make it. You know, it's like a prison ingenuity kind of thing. MacGyver. Everybody's a MacGyver down there. And the people are nice. They have the internet, but not the way you'd think. You can get internet at the embassies by Wi-Fi. You can get it at the major hotel in Havana. And a couple little sporadic places if you know where to go. Other than that, there ain't no internet except for a subscription that's on the black market. These guys, they go around on their bikes and they go to where the internet signals are good every day. And they will download, like, you can request stuff, or they'll download a lot of the major web pages and stuff all offline onto USB sticks. And then they'll bring them to people that subscribe for, like, you know, $5 a week or whatever it is, 5 pesos, da da da. And they'll bring the everyday, like a newspaper delivery, the daily internet.
Shit, man. I got some good shit here. You open up your jacket. It's a memory stick. I got some good shit here for you. Only $5.
Yeah, I got the Pornhub. I got, what do you want? Xvideos? You know, like, you want Reddit? You got. So, yeah, they will download, you know, like if you could download a show, you could download, you know, the Revolution Radio if they knew about it. But and then on the weekends, what the people do, actually a lot of times when the weather is nice, is they will dress up in the evenings in their very best, and they'll go out on the street and they'll socialize. Wow, what a concept. You know, they'll like have their barbecues, and they'll all have play their music, and so it's a completely different atmosphere. No electromagnetic smog, no noise pollution, no, I mean, except for the locals, no real pollution of any, you know, substance. The only problem, of course, is the government's a little bit, you know, suspect. And there's not a lot of beef. They got a lot of pork, but not a lot of cows. Yeah.
Cows take up space.
They but do. The people are beautiful people.
There was one cow while I was down there wandered into the damn minefield and got blowed up, and they were in a lawsuit over it. Nice.
Were you taking bets, Tom?
I could go back to Cuba, though. That's not you know, I mean, not to live for permanent because the government's kind of messed up, but everything else about it, I could move there. I really could.
Well, you can visit there now, can't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went there. I went from and I didn't fly from the United States. I flew from a place called Paramaribo, and it's in Suriname. And
come on. No, you got on your paddleboard on your knees, and you paddled across the...
Now, that's another trippy place, Paramaribo in Suriname. Suriname in South America, next door to French Guyana, is the most multicultural nation on the planet. The reason being, it's an old Dutch colony, and it was a slave colony. And the Dutch were notorious for being slave traders. They got people from everywhere, the West Indies, from Africa, from India, all over the place, South America, China, just wherever, Molucca. And they would bring them all to Suriname, and they drop off the crazy ones, the crazy ones, the slaves on the ships, they drop them off in the Antilles. And that's why even to this day, there's a reputation in Holland where people are Gentilian. He's from the Antilles. Oh, he's crazy. You know, it's like descendants of all the nuts that they didn't want. They're like, no, you're way too crazy for us. We're going to leave you on this island. Anyway, they put the rest in Suriname, and the descendants kind of mixed everything together. So the food that they make is incredible. You've got a mix of like Hindu influence with Chinese influence with, you know, the South American influence, everything together with a little the Creole. They speak Sranantango, that's Fawaka Alasane Boom. That's a sort of a Creole language that's also they call it Suriname, but it's Sranantango is the official name. And then when Suriname was granted independence back in the 70s, they were given a choice. They said, everybody, you can either come to Holland or the Netherlands and become Dutch citizens, or you can stay in Suriname and be Suriname citizens. And so that was the split. So they have a large population now in the Netherlands of people from Suriname. But if you say, if you look at somebody, you wouldn't know, because they might look Chinese. They might have dark skin. They might have light skin.
You have to holler at somebody who's wanting you to holler it in the chat log. Flippy there, you know, that C word. You're always hollering it. Specifically. It's a country. There you go. There you go. Yeah, no, Flippy wanted to hear it. She's like, he or she, I don't know.
Is in Paramaribo, time literally slows down to almost nothing. They're like, yeah, you know, whatever. It'll get done when it gets done. There's no, you know, it's, I mean, they're poor, but at the same time, the quality of life doesn't suffer in the same way. Like, yeah, they don't have all the modern luxuries. The streets are made out of dirt, right? But they've got family. They've got, you know, a clean, quote unquote, living as far as healthy foods and stuff from nature. You know, they've got the traditional kind of values that a lot of people may find attractive as opposed to, and they don't have the hustle and bustle and the hassle of modern life. So you got to wonder the trade-off.
Right. Well, I mean, the West is almost doomed, I guess. You know, I mean, look at the total polar opposite, right? It's rush, rush, rush. You know, the 9-to-5. You know, it's, I don't know. The control is over the top for what it's set up to be, man. And
ridiculous. Control. Everybody, authoritarian, the control of the state is just overreaching. And I can't believe the crab in the bucket syndrome of how many people want to go along with it. You know, I was watching prison videos on TikTok today. Yeah, I know. I'm weird. And, but people sneak cell phones into prisons. And there's some folks that, and it's kind of fascinating to look at the mindset on some of this stuff anyway. So I'm sort of going through TikTok, and not just prison videos, but different stuff. And then I noticed something, that a lot of the music that they are using to accompany has this sort of like really juvenile, child, almost infantile sort of motif to it. Like, you know, get your own snacks. These are my snacks. La la la. And at first you might think it's sort of cute, sort of like it's different, it's edgy in some ways. But then when you start to realize how this is like saturating the minds and the minds, kind of like rap in some aspects with some people, that if you're, you know, music sets the mode, and certain types of experiences make people into different modes. And that, in addition to, you know, let's say video stimuli, especially in the way TikTok does it, is very short little blurbs here and there, da 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 da. So there's not anything that's consciously retained for any period of time. But over a long period of time, all of this nonsense that gets forgotten starts to wear on the brain in different ways. And I'm like sort of kind of going overboard psychoanalyzing this, going, this is creepy. I mean, right. You know,
it's all mind control to a great degree, you know.
And if you're not aware of it, you're
music behind their voices, because they're trying to set a certain narrative for it.
It's also kind of, it's a disarming and alarming at the same time kind of motif. Like, imagine if you will, a bunch of 4-year-olds running around with knives that are trying, you know, this kind of weird, like, they're blending innocence with, whatever, you know, it's a bizarre mix psychologically. When, I don't know if it's making any sense, you might have, if you look at TikTok and you start listening and take kind of an abstract view of it, you know, you might see what I mean. There's a lot of this real cutesy stuff where, you know, I mean, before, traditionally, something that's cute is disarmingly innocent, right? You know, so it's, but that now necessarily isn't the case. You know, the teddy bear might be holding a .357 Magnum behind it, and while it's slicing your throat, it might be, you know, singing "Ring Around the Rosie" and la 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 in a childlike manner. It's like the weird horror motif comes to life.
It's a form of heavy desensitization.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can look at, you know, like the police activity videos on YouTube and all these other things that go on throughout the world. There's actual public freakouts. That's a pretty interesting page in its own right on Reddit. But when you get to that level, man, that's insane. Because yeah, they're playing to the youth, to desensitize, yes, the youth.
Exactly. It's one thing, like you were mentioning, you know, the YouTubes and the live leaks and all that. That's one level where we have this morbid curiosity and we look at these videos and go, whoa, you know. It's another thing where you've got this TikTok method of short blurps of this style that is, there's something disturbing. I can't quite put my finger on it, but something, there's red flags going up. And knowing that it's out of China and the research that they've done on this human psyche and all that, I'm sure that this is being used in some way as a weapon. I mean, obviously, you know,
decades. I mean, hell, look at the movie Psycho and then look at some of the movies that come out today that are supposed to be horror movies. Instead of actually making them use your mind to create the horror, they splash blood on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the psychic, interesting about the human mind, from all the way to people in North Korea, women crying supposedly after what's his name dies, to, you know, the innocence that you found, Mr. Rowe, in Cuba among the people, to even when the movies first came out and people went to the movies, people were fainting left and right because they weren't used to the auditory and the visual type of symbol. And then also, you got the guy, hang on.
Well, that movie, the Hitchcock, The Birds, was really controversial, and it really wasn't that bad if you look at the movies of today.
Right. I was mentioning, talking about the psyche. So this Westerner, and it might have been you, Mr. O, because you've been all over the world, but this Westerner got in the cab with an Iranian guy at the airport. And as they were driving, of course, the Iranian cabbie, who wants to get his tip up, and he goes, "Hey, let me show you something." And the guy says, "Well, what?" And he opens his laptop up and then clicks a couple of buttons. And there's this woman. She's not naked. And she's got like a bikini on. So she's not even like showing, you know, the big nipples, right? And she's shaking and she's dancing and she's shaking. And the Iranian guy just starts laughing. He goes, "Man, look at that." I mean, it's like, and the Western guy's thinking, this is the level of porn in Iran. I mean, a woman, you know, shaking, dancing in a bikini. That's their porn here. He was amazed at it, but sure
enough.
That way
in India, too. It's India. You can barely get away with having a kiss. That's the no-no in Bollywood.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, they're not into that porn stuff in India. Not.
Well, I mean, it destroys society. I believe that's part and parcel to the human smuggling operation. You know, I'm tired of seeing the country. I'm tired of seeing society. I'm tired of seeing civilization completely, utterly upended. You know, if the devil isn't on the earth doing dances right now, well, by God, these times will work until he is. You know, hey, I'm going to throw this out there. Dude Geig, you can jump into the broadcast here, too. I don't think I have his contact. So if Jack or Deacon, if you want to add him, feel more than free.
Yeah, Deacon can probably do that.
I can in here.
Or you, Mr. I did want. So tomorrow's Father's Day, and I got a couple of my, all my children coming over. And I was looking for a compilation of people who put magnets up to their arm. Somebody had a real good one. I think it was you, Mr. Rowe, or maybe it was you, John Wayne. There was about like a dozen or 20 people. Each one, you know, there was only about 20 or 30 seconds per clip, but it was a compilation. Does anybody have that where you can give me that link so I can hit him with it tomorrow? A link of... Go ahead.
I mean, you could get on what the hell is it?
BitChute? I know it. There's someone on BitChute. There you go. I'll see if I can dig one up for you.
Yeah, BitChute. Well, what would I type in? Magnet to the shot or what?
Yeah, what you want, like you could do magnetic, and then when you sort after the search comes, you're going to go to sort by latest and then hit search again. Because relevance may or may not bring what you want up, because it may be like several months old. You usually want to get the latest stuff, right? So resort it by latest. Just put in the word magnetic or something and see what comes up.
I'd seen a guy who was doing a video, and he had like his property manager or whatever it was, realtor there. And she'd taken the shot, and he put a magnet on her arm. It stuck. Took the magnet off. And lo and behold, they put a damn piece of, a coin up there, and that thing stuck. And the mechanic, he's like talking about this here about, what was it, about, well, I don't know, 3.5-4 weeks ago, he started bringing this up about coins sticking to people. And by God, I saw with my own two eyes, you know. Now,
I've been able to do both. Well, okay, I'll be honest, I have not yet found someone where the magnet sticks to them physically, and I have not found magnetic meat. I was able to stick my magnet onto cellophane on top of chicken, and it stuck for a second, and I was like, oh shit, that's magnetic. And then I realized, wait a minute, it's sticking to cellophane. I was like, oh, let me do it. Okay, now. And then I tried, I took the chicken out, and it wouldn't stick. So personally, I've tried hamburger, I tried steaks, I tried chicken that I recently got, from Lucky's, is the chain, I haven't found anything myself.
So now the magnetic meat, huh? I haven't seen this one yet.
There are some. I'll see if I can dig that up. There's a compilation now.
Were they like on a steak? Hamburger?
Yeah, but they weren't. I mean, I'm like.
Well, you could put something in that piece of meat.
Sure. You could. In fact, I did that. I debunked myself. I was like, wait a minute. I have powerful magnets. What if I put a magnet, a really powerful one, in my armpit and hold it there and then try to put another one on my arm and it stuck?
No kidding.
Yeah, I've got a one was powerful enough to draw another one through. So I could fake this if I wanted to, but I'm not like that. So wow.
So here Roe is now with a couple of magnets embedded into his into his right arm. They're still trying to get together, but they've come to the bone now. Is that correct?
So I can now mimic magnetic people. In that way, I can also, with a frequency generator, if they're going to use to see if you've got Gauss or micro Teslas, because I have an EMF meter and I can measure magnetic fields as well as electro fields and stuff. Apparently, these people are giving off a different signature. And so you could literally put a frequency generator or something in your pocket or some magnets and give off the same signature. So that if you ever needed to fake it past a sensor, to beep, okay, you're good. Beep, you're good. Oh, nope, you're not giving off magnetic. then you can get past
the sensor. The chat room said coins are not magnetic.
That's true. They're
coins,
not.
Coins are not supposed to be magnetic. Absolutely not. Same thing with jewelry. Jewelry and coins are not supposed to be magnetic. Well, for the simple fact of the matter, that way somebody, can't be a crafty thief or something and stick a magnet somewhere, and come with a handful of cash or whatever.
Well, in one of these vids, I saw people, they were putting a magnet to their forehead. And so I just had to know. So I immediately went over to my refrigerator and I took this little round magnet and I stuck it to my forehead.
Did it stick?
No, it stuck for about 1.5 seconds till I had such homicidal rage going through me that they had gotten me, and then it fell off. And I realized, it just stuck. It just like a wave of rage came over. But anyways, it was just enough sweat to where it stuck. And I tried it again. And but for that split second, I just remember just like white rage.
I'm sitting here imagining Hijacker pick up the refrigerator and literally beat it off all four walls of the kitchen.
Well, I scanned myself with my meter. I scanned my contractor. The only guy that I know that I've been around that's actually had one shot of the AstraZeneca and then decided he would stop. He would not get it because he actually got sick. He got a shot. He felt like crap. And then was going to go get a second shot. And then we talked and he decided, no, I think I'll wait. But they've been bothering him. They're like, I mean, you got to come back. You got to get your second shot. He's like, oh, fuck you.
No, you're all right. I went in to go see that guy who's passing. And, as we come in the front of the hospice there, they had, all the stuff sitting there, the paperwork, you had to fill it out ourselves. And the guy, he didn't even take our temperature. So I'm standing there with the temp gun, just, trying to make sure I'm doing everything by the book, literally, and I'm standing there and I'm trying to get this thing to work on my hand. Right. And I'm like, why isn't it working? He goes, well, most generally go scan across your forehead. So I tried using it on my arm again, or my hand, over the top of my hand, and I couldn't get it to work. So I was like, well, son of a bitch. So I put it up to my forehead myself, and I hated to do this because, self-indoctrination to it just kind of pissed me off. But so I put the thing up my forehead, and I pushed the button, and beep, it worked. I'm like, come on now. I mean, I was all right, but the thing is, I tried to get it to work on my hand. It wouldn't work on my hand.
Now, there are now to be like, just because I personally haven't seen the magnet stuff in action around me, which I'm kind of thankful for. I don't want it anywhere near me. That doesn't mean to discount any of the videos, and even including, that if they're coming from other countries, there's people in India, there's the Philippines and China, or well, maybe not China, Taiwan or somewhere else, that are finding themselves magnetic and they're videotaping it. They've got spoons. Here's one just 41 minutes ago, Several Odisha, India, claim developing magnetic power after taking the jab. And another one.
Right there, I just want to pause you for a second. Now, this is the Indians we're speaking of, you know, they're in India, right? Okay, we have developed magnetic powers after taking the vaccination. You know, so now, well, what is it? I'm not coming down on nobody or how folks are by no means. But now, I mean, with the way those folks' mindset is, oh, well, now these people are as if they're gods.
Well, they're basically saying the magnetic powers is, look, I can make things stick to me. And there's a guy standing there and he's got a bunch of, you know, every once in a while, you'll actually run across somebody that naturally this happens. Usually it's somebody out of Russia. But
yeah, what is that, superhuman?
Yeah, and there's somebody, and they'll be able to stick pots to them and all this. Yeah, and but now, so it's not implausible that, you know, there could be an anomaly that would react with the iron production in your body. And apparently one of the things this does is your cells produce an extra amount of iron and it actually stretches the cells. And the dangerous part is if they rupture. So it's stretching the cell just to the point before it ruptures, and it puts a lot of iron and then it polarizes it. Now I heard something that Ivy West said today that's kind of alarmed me that I didn't think of. And, you know, we all think, okay, this can be used to make everybody sort of an antenna, the 5G, blah, 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 blah. But she was saying, hey, you know, this could just be enough to create it so that one electromagnetic pulse, an EMP, would be enough to just take you out. And that's it. They wouldn't need some messy nuclear bomb. They wouldn't need anything that would cause any real damage. All they need to do is give you an electromagnetic pulse, and that would rupture all of your cells in some way, cause mass death in all these people. And then basically I was thinking, yeah, and then they would send in the robotic bio eaters, you know, like that robot called Eater that eats bio waste to come in and clean up the mess. That could be a scenario. So,
or it could be that, like, you know, like in the movie Terminator, you know, when he's ordering all the different weapons from the gun dealer, he says a plasma, you know, 40 millimeter microwave, such and such. And the guy says, look, pal, I only got what I got. So maybe they actually got a rifle now that can fire an EMP pulse narrow enough to where they could just pick you off. Just you end up.
I can tell you, they have EMP grenades. During the Operation Desert Shield, there was usage of EMP grenades in very small pinpoint areas. That's all I'm going to say. I've seen that technology.
You want to talk about knocking out a city's power grid? Hey, man, they're that thing where they're by that great big generator. Okay, boss.
So literally you could fly something, like you could fly a drone, or back then, I guess it would be an ultralight. You know, you could drop it on top of an area, a building, and it would take out the power in that area. Nothing would work. So if you were to be strategic with that kind of, and that was technology, it was back in like 92, I think, 93. So, you know, we've come a long way now, and, we're doing a lot of speculation, but just all of these little pieces. There's stuff now you can find on BitChute talking about magnetic bacterial nanoparticles, nanobots, of course, obviously. You know, there's doctors that are on, like, they're talking about the magnetic injection particles. I think Dr. Jane Ruby went on Stu Peters, and that was just like yesterday. I posted even in our host chat a few articles from medical journals and Google Scholar talking about how they've been studying this kind of stuff for decades, you know, in so many different fields. Nanotechnology just covers the gambit of everything. So, you know, they used to combine elements, like they can combine at nanoscale, combine wood and gold and these different types of components by fusing these molecules, making things that are unnatural. So now we've come to the point where I guess they've already said that they're going to do this with DNA and RNA. And they've recently come out. I said on my show this last Thursday, they had a new study where they found that RNA behaves in ways that they didn't think were possible before. And so if they're discovering these new things, but they've already implemented technology without knowing something that they've just discovered, and they went, I mean, there could be certain monkey wrenches that are being thrown in and they didn't even consider. So, and
you know,
how,
the nano stuff used to be all the rage between 2000 and 2010. And then something happened in 2010. You probably, because you keep up with science, Mr. Rowe, you probably know this. Did you notice how all the nano talk just went quiet?
Yeah.
Just shut down.
It disappeared, man.
Yeah, that was when they realized it could be weaponized.
Yeah, Breaker 19.
Go ahead. Break.
Yeah, how is my sound now? You still got a background noise?
No, you're better.
Okay, good deal. A few days ago, you know, John Wayne put up a video of this portal, and it's got me thinking like crazy. I've been thinking about this, I mean, all the time. And this portal is to get people used to seeing portals all over the place. They got one in two cities right now. And what they're trying to do is get people used to these things. And they are trying to fake the Book of Revelations, okay? They are going to use this vaccine to change the frequent. Now, this is speculation on my part, okay? I admit that. This is speculation, okay? They are going to use this vaccine to change the frequency of your DNA, your body, and then they already have teleportation, okay? And they are going to teleport all of these people that's been vaccinated out. And then everybody else is going to think they've been raptured out and think the Holy Bible is real and all that good stuff. And it's all fake, people. I mean, it's all fake. And it's really, I mean, they call this thing the portal, okay? And every video game I've ever played, if you click on a portal, it teleports you somewhere, okay? I mean, it teleports you to a city or to a different location on the map so you can get supplies or whatever. I mean, these portals are to get people used to seeing portals. And they've got these portals all over the world.
We've known for 50 years that teleporting through portals is a possibility. The thing is, you need something at both ends, and it's the amount of power. Now, if they got a, you were talking about the, or they were talking about the nanotechnology, they got a nano power plant. If they can make it the size of a Volkswagen, it'd run the United States. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't work on a massive scale. It only works on a nano scale. Now, who's to say that they haven't come up with some kind of power supply to run these portals? We know mathematically that there's a possibility that, a probability that they'd work, but it's the amount of power. So if they've come up, broke the power, able to get the power, there's no problem doing a portal.
Right. You know, so I put the link there in our chat for this broadcast. It's interesting. I mean, you know, my thought is, you know, okay, well, you're calling it a portal. You can see from one city to another city. Okay. But my concern is what else is coming in and going out of these things?
Star Trek episode like that. Remember where they jumped through the hole and they went back to like the Depression era and all that type of thing. I remember that. Good stuff. But I agree with Gerald. I think a lot of this stuff is to like, they need a scapegoat. They want people, whatever they're planning on doing. First of all, I wouldn't believe the shit that you hear from them. Number two is they're setting up some kind of scapegoat. Is that your point, Gerald?
Gerald must have been on mute. Oh, there he is. Go ahead.
Yeah. 10-4. Everything is a lie, people. I mean, I'm Trucker Gerald, and I do not believe the official narrative of anything. Everything is a distraction. Okay, they distract you from the truth always. So whatever they put to you on the mainstream news or any politician, if their mouth is moving, they are lying, okay? So I do not believe the official narrative of anything. So, yeah, I mean, everything. So you got to read between the lines. Over.
You know, I want to bring something up, and I haven't heard anybody discussing anything about it at all whatsoever. It didn't make any mentions on any form of mainstream media. Dutch Sense has went absolutely silent over the past 3 or 4 days. There was a series of what was purported to be 3.8 earthquakes, 7 of them in total, right just south. Well, it was in Indianapolis, Indiana, within this area south of Lake Michigan. And one of them was right there on the very tip of Lake Michigan. What in the hell are they doing? Now, what I'm thinking, I mean, I don't know. No, okay, what I want to do is I want to go around here on the table. So, hey, real quick before we go any further, hey, dude guy, thanks for joining us, man. You've been here a little bit, and we haven't called on you.
Oh, that's okay. Happy to be here.
Right on. You know, so these 7 earthquakes that happened there in Indianapolis, one over in Illinois, I'm thinking if Douglas Vaught is right in how they've built all their bases in the absolute worst locations, you know, literally on fault and rift zones, I'm wondering if they're not building new bases. Because isn't it interesting you have a series of 3.8 earthquakes occur in one area within 2 hours of themselves, as if they're literally blasting the cavity out of the earth to continue to build these new facilities or safe shelters, if you would.
Well, I mean, that could be one explanation. I think we would be likely to see it in more than just one area. I mean, one reason they would choose the Midwest area, like in Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, is that we're right in the middle of the craton tectonic plate, which is one of the most stable plates on the planet. And it doesn't have a lot of geothermal activity, pretty much no volcanic activity. So you can go down pretty deep, pretty safely. So it makes a good place to have an underground base. I also suspect that if there's been a lot of lying going on inside the government, interagency, and some of this is being revealed, there might be internal conflict within different branches of the military, secret branches we don't know about, commanders deciding that they don't like the deal they got, or they've been lied to. And, you know, if there is actions taking place, just like we're told that there was children being saved under the White House and all this other stuff, well, you know, there's no way for us to confirm any of that, but there certainly could be something going on.
Well, dude, guy, I don't know if you've heard, but there is. Since February, the guy in China who was responsible for all of China's counterterrorism, that means he's China's hunter of spies, like Hansen. Like Hansen, he was ahead of the counterterrorism. It turned out he was a Russian spy or whatever. Anyways.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. This Chinese defector, he didn't defect to the CIA. He didn't defect to, you know, the FBI or the State Department. He chose the DIA,
Defense Intelligence Agency,
right? Yeah. And they said he brought with him terabytes, including Hunter's laptop, and they say they are getting a wealth of information. And there's a conflict in the government because now the Pentagon says, well, I want to know what's going on and where he's at. And
they also say they were scared too, Jacker. They said it made some of the intelligence agencies frightened. Go ahead.
Oh, they're terrified. Completely terrified.
Yeah, I have the story on it here. I'd read about this before. The DIA, in my research, would be, if you were going to characterize a part of the government that was white hat, that would probably be part of it, the DIA, at least from what I know. So this is from
concur with that, dude guy, yes.
Okay, that's good. So this is from PJ Media, and it's from June 4th. And it says, headline is, high-ranking Chinese defector working with DIA has direct knowledge of China bioweapons program, and it's very bad. So I'll just read a little bit of it. It says, an exclusive story at Red State, Jen Van Laar reports that sources inside the intelligence community say a high-ranking defector from China has been working for months with the United States Defense Intelligence Agency. According to Van Laar's confidential sources, that high-ranking defector claims to have knowledge of special weapons programs in China that include bioweapons. Adam Housley first reported via Twitter on Thursday that the increased pressure on China in recent days is due to a defector with intimate knowledge of their programs. According to Housley, FBI Director Christopher Wray didn't know right away because they wanted to make sure they got all they needed before telling him. This, I had heard about this, that they didn't tell Wray because Wray had been covering up a lot of the things they wanted to know about Lieber, which is, I was going to mention Lieber going forward as to do with the magnetic part of what you're talking about. But going on with this story, in fact, Wray was ambushed with the information, according to Van Laar's sources, as was the CIA. Sources say DIA leadership kept the defector within their clandestine services network to prevent Langley and the State Department from accessing the person, whose existence was kept from other agencies because DIA leadership believes there are Chinese spies or sources inside the FBI, CIA, and several other federal agencies. Like that Chinese guy that always follows Biden around. Why was the defector so important that he had to be kept under wraps? Housley says it's because the defector has information on the origins of the Wuhan virus. Quote, China is trying to produce variants that suggest it came from bats to cover up that the coronavirus originally came from its lab. He later clarified U.S. intelligence has a Chinese defector with Wuhan info, and China is trying to produce variants and suggest it came from bats naturally to cover up that the coronavirus originally came from its lab. According to Red State sources, the defector has been with the DIA for 3 months and has provided extensive technical detailed debrief to U.S. officials. The DIA's assessment, the information provided by the defector is legitimate. Sources say level of confidence in the defector's information is what has led to a sudden crisis of confidence in Fauci.
We will be right back, folks. Stay tuned. We're not going anywhere, so you shouldn't either.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Back. This is revolution.radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station in the globe. It takes you to keep us on air, folks. And what are we trying to do here? Well, I don't know. Did that pretty much sum it up? We're trying to save the population, if that is even possible. But you know, I wanted to get back to Dude Guy. He was in the middle of covering an extremely important article. It's something I wanted to bring on my broadcast tonight, but I just did not have the time. Were you done with that, or do you want to continue running with it?
Oh, I was almost done. I was just trying to get the rest of the context on the chain of events that has transpired to really put Fauci in the crosshairs. And that's what this has done, is because Fauci's lies have exposed that he's been manipulating and steering the whole process of this pandemic from the beginning by giving false information on the dangers and the things that should be done to protect the public to Trump and to everyone, really, and Dr. Birx as well, and others. Their collaboration with the Chinese has been exposed first through his connection to EcoHealth and Peter Daszak, which he sent $4 million for gain-of-function research that's known about so far, but it looks like other avenues are turning up even more funding that went through Peter Daszak and his EcoHealth for lots of research on this coronavirus. So this is another avenue that exposes the connections between a whole group of scientists in the United States that did research in this area and then sent it to the Wuhan lab for further development through various means and various funding stipends. A lot of it is U.S. taxpayer money. So this informant has come here trying to convey information that this is no accident, that this was a purposeful, this wasn't even a lab leak, it was purposely released. And that it's part of...
Dude guy, real quick, I want to state this because it's important. Before all of this was a big thing in the West, I remember the first case landed up there in Washington, Washington State, northwest part of the country. And the way I saw the military reacting, the way they were setting up their contingency units, these tents, like what was it out in the middle, like the, you know, what was, I don't know if it was in the mall or whatever,
the
out
airport,
there in DC.
I think,
but... airport, but you know, they were setting up areas. And the thing that I noticed is all the soldiers were decked out in MOP level 4 gear, you know, the top mission oriented protective posture. And that told me that they thought that we'd been hit by a biological weapon. Just by their reaction. Go ahead. I just wanted to throw that out there because it ties with what you're saying.
Well, I think the information they might have picked up was correct. It was a biological weapon, but it wasn't a traditional biological weapon that immediately reveals its lethality. This is a slow-acting biological weapon.
Well, with you saying a slow-acting biological weapon, I've done a few broadcasts with Dave over the past several days, and he was telling me that he had two women contact him that worked within a couple of agencies. I can't disclose anything, but other than that, what they said that this is going to do is it's going to eventually turn into a form of Ebola. This is how they will get their second lockdown. Two different women in two different days confirmed this to Dave. He took it to Celeste Solem, and she was literally pulling up documentation that matched exactly what these two whistleblowers came out and were saying. And this is how they will get their second lockdown. People will come down with what looks to be Ebola. And then look who's on top of the money chain on that again, too, right? Ebola is patented. He's part and parcel to holding that patent on Ebola. Well, that's right. No, well, at least the vaccination of it was Bill Gates. Remember all the people chasing the villagers over there in the Democratic Republic of Congo around with the needle? So I just wanted to throw this out there because, I mean, this could be something we could see coming in the near future is what they're going to term it as being Ebola, but it's not Ebola. And this goes right on into the video that I found showing the manipulation of the blood cells and what this stab literally does. Wow, man. Go ahead.
The big story is not the lab leak. The big story is the guy himself. He is the chief counterintelligence spy operative of China. And they say he's got terabytes. He is the story. He is such a big spy, such a big catch, that you'd have to go back, and some of you guys help me, but there was a real high-level Russian guy that defected 30, 40 years ago and was telling us the plan, and he was like the highest-level Soviet defector that we ever had.
I came across this video last night, but I didn't watch it. He was an older guy. He had glasses, and he was pretty much bald, if I'm not mistaken, like if this is the same guy.
Yuri Brezhnev or something like that?
Yeah, that's it. Yuri Brezhnev. That's it, yeah.
Yeah, and so this Chinese guy, he would be up on that level. And supposedly what he's saying is that the United States government is riddled with compromised Chinese assets, spies, all up throughout the university level, the labs.
Gee, you think?
His name is Dong Jingwei.
Yeah, that's it.
He was a longtime official in China's Ministry of State Security, also known as the Guanbu. His available background indicates he was responsible for the ministry's counterintelligence efforts in China, which means catching spies, and was promoted to vice minister in April 2018. If these stories are true, Dong would be the highest level defector in the history of the People's Republic of China. Dong's defection was raised by Chinese officials last March at the Sino-American Summit in Alaska. So this is why they didn't get along. According to Dr. Han Lin Chao, a former Chinese foreign ministry official who defected after Tiananmen Square in 89, in a tweet on Wednesday, Han, citing an unnamed source, alleged that China's foreign minister Wang Yi and Communist Party foreign affairs boss Yang Jingchai demanded that the Americans return Dong, and Secretary of State Anthony Blinken refused. So,
Blinken refused because he didn't have control of them. He probably told him, I'm giving them back to you, but I don't got control.
Exactly. The DIA had him, yeah.
This guy, I'll tell you, this defector, man, he had better find a deep, deep hole and hide well. My goodness.
Well, another defector was Dr. Yan, who came over from Hong Kong and has been on the Bannon show a lot. And she actually was working in the lab in Hong Kong that was working on part of this project, and then she defected. Well, when she did that, her husband, who's also a scientist, didn't come with her. And he remained loyal to China. Well, so she's been over here for the past year and a half, 2 years almost, and she was protected under Trump. But now under Biden, they're not protecting her as well. So she's had to hire, I think they banned her. Somebody got her some security. But the Biden administration just allowed her husband to come to the country, who, may be being sent by the Chinese to do something to her. Who knows? And they're still trying to find out where he is and who sponsored him to come over. So the very people that are trying to inform us about what's going on, part of this government is collaborating with the Chinese to silence them, basically.
I wonder what part Huawei plays into this. And then that woman that was arrested there in Canada and detained, and then I think she was eventually brought here, wasn't she? And is still here? Maybe. I don't know.
I think they allowed her to go back to China, and because that was in Canada. I don't think they brought her here. The Canadians, I think Trudeau let her go back. And that's why it created all this furor, because she was initially arrested for sending the research back to China and doing several illegal things. I can't remember, but there's a whole network here that I believe is modeled on the Operation Paperclip network when we brought the Nazis over and put them in our scientific network, and they honeycombed all our sciences, not just rocketry. Well, I think the Chinese have sort of just switched places with the Nazis, what they used to do, and it's Operation China Clip, basically.
So China Gate. Go ahead.
Everything's a gate. This is a clip because this is the original. The reason they call it Operation Paperclip is because there was so many German names that were being given positions in key places that it raised questions by the directors of those labs and universities, that they started just putting a paperclip over the person's name and saying, look, someone's coming to, take a spot here. Don't ask about it.
Oh, Mengele's going to be stopping by to check on our progress today.
That's right.
Mengele, what?
It wasn't just us that took them scientists. Other countries did, too.
Oh, yeah.
We just got the brightest of them.
Right. But in this case, I'm just saying that what you can think of the Chinese scientists that have honeycombed our academic and private lab, corporate lab network is a lot like what happened with Operation Paperclip, where they were given placements in key areas and they were all, known Nazis. And in this case, some of them still had connections to the Nazis that were still at large in South America and maybe other places, and became, the reconstituted, you know, fascist governments. And
this is the Fourth Reich we're seeing, is it not?
It is. It is. It's an arm of it, and it has infiltrated the U.S. And you know, it was here before World War II, and it has reconstituted itself. You know, a part of our elite, we're part of this network, including the Bush family. You know, funding it through Union Bank, they funded the Nazis, Prescott Bush, and many others. So, you know, I think these connections shouldn't be entirely shocking, because our establishment has a penchant for funding extremists who will serve their purposes, even if those purposes are at odds with the very nature of this country and its ideals. So, you know, we can't even trust our own CIA and our FBI. So they had to hide this Chinese defector. To finish this article, it said, in the DIA's assessment, the information provided by the defector is legitimate. Sources say the level of confidence in the defector's information is what has led to a sudden crisis of confidence in Fauci, adding that the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases personnel detailed to the DIA have corroborated very technical details of information provided by the defector. All this raises many questions. Why suddenly did the U.S. legacy media en masse turn tail and start pointing fingers at China and doubting Fauci? Why did left-wing outlets like the Washington Post and BuzzFeed, and John Stewart, as I talked about on our show the other day, who's a key cultural leader who has the power to shape the liberals' opinions because of his pop culture status, and that's what they respond to. And so why did they suddenly decide the time was right to drop Fauci's emails? See, that's coming from inside the mainstream media. They had that stuff all along, like the New York Times. So just days after the lab leak story was suddenly no longer verboten on social media. See, they're trying to distance themselves from Fauci because his connections are overwhelming, and that's going to be revealed. So Fauci's emails reveal what we've been reporting. This is PJ Media for months. That Fauci was working with a Chinese scientist from the Wuhan lab. I think it's the Bat Lady, that he asked Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg to help with COVID messaging, and that he signed off on funding for dangerous gain-of-function research in Wuhan. So all this information is going to come into the popular consciousness that this was purposeful, and key players in our own government that have been running this pandemic the entire time have not only failed to mention it, but have been working against the resolution of this crisis the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
So if any of this turns out to be true, the suggestion that China may have intentionally unleashed the most deadly bioweapon in world history, that could definitely lead to a hot war. You know,
they leaked it out. I mean, of course, when it hit, what'd they do? They closed down their country but left that area open to the rest of the world? They deliberately let it out.
Well, that, right, according to the Democrats. The Democrats were laughing at Trump for even trying to stop regular travel from China. They said he was racist.
Mm-hmm, so right, and then they and it happened during the Chinese New Year. Mm-hmm. And by God, we cannot shut down the Chinese New Year. We just cannot do it. We got to make sure that we fly them in as many as we can.
Pelosi said, come down to Chinatown, San Francisco, have some fun. Don't worry about the virus. It's no big deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as Pappy Bush said, if the American people find out what we've done to them, we won't be able to walk down the streets. And by God, it's getting to that boiling point in this country. I don't want to see anything horrendous happen. I don't want open conflict. I don't want any of that. But, I mean, it's been engineered to happen. Real quick, Jacker. It's been engineered to happen this way, you know. So, my goodness. Go ahead, Jacker.
Yeah. So, the big thing is that what are the guys inside the government are going to do if the DIA has got possession of this guy and he's been able to finger point all these different spies and infiltrators, and that this was a bio attack. This was thought out by the Chinese. So you got to figure that there's probably a cold civil war going on within the government between the white and the black hats. And so at what point do the white hats say, we got Biden dead to rights, that he's an actual asset of the Chinese, and we're going to have to round him up? And well, all good, the
Jecker, people need to go look at Project Time, Typhoon Investigations. If you can still find it, just go to your search engine, type in Typhoon Investigations Project Time. That is more than enough soil to bury these bastards who have sold this country out to the communist Chinese.
Yeah, so that's what I was getting to my point. What is stopping the white hats within the United States government from, you know, pulling these ticks out of us and, you know, getting our country back? It's got to be that the black hats, the other side, they've got other bioweapons lined up, or maybe even nuclear weapons.
Well, the bioweapons already been distributed. It's self-replicating. Whatever they've shot these people up with, COVID-19, the virus, well, you know, certificate of vaccination identification AI, that was the ruse to get everybody to take this shot. That's the bioweapon in its full-fledged form. See, so this thing has, we already know this thing has what, up to 80 different payloads that it can carry. It's engineered with go ahead.
Well, my point is that there's something that is preventing the white hats from
doing.
Why do
you think there's white hats in the government, Hijacker? I think they've all been driven out and thrown out. I don't think there's any white hats left or any white hat in power.
Yeah, that well, Deacon, if you say that, that means that all of these people have become demonic. They've all sold their souls, and they're all put their hand in to help annihilate humanity. And so they've basically, you're saying they all sold their souls then, huh? Go ahead.
I think there's different levels. I mean, people that just run the basic nuts and bolts, I mean, they may be ideologues, but they're not, you know, they're not going to be calling the shots or anything like that. I mean, white hats, I mean, isn't that what the Trump losing the election and all the people around him getting kicked out and being impeached and all this other crap and January 6th. I mean, there's no white hats left.
Well, no, what I'm saying is it would make sense that what white hats are left, there's something that has checked them where they've permitted, you know, 150 or 170 million Americans to take the vax.
They don't want
to
die, their pension taken away from them.
I got to speak up for the head of the DIA. I think he might be a white hat because he's a Chippewa. He went to my college. He went to Central Michigan. Lieutenant General Scott D. Barrier, USA, is the 22nd director of the Department of the Army of the DIA. Yep. So, Lieutenant General. Yeah, he looks, I mean, he went to the University of Wisconsin, and then he got a master's degree from Central Michigan University, and then a master of science in strategic studies from the U.S. Army War College. Yeah, I don't know.
And he could have been part of the negotiations for the transition of power, where the white hats and the patriotic general said, you know, okay, you're going to do this transition. You know, Trump says it's a ripped off election, which it is, which, by the way, now Trump is reversed. He's saying that he did lose. So he's got back in line. But it could be that before they actually turned over Air Force One and the Beast, we saw there was the delay in that. There was some type of delay with the military. They could have said, all righty, we'll start giving these reins up of power, but this is the guy we want as far as DIA.
He served in Iraq and Afghanistan and in Korea. He was a senior mission commander, special operations assignments. So he's in special operations. He got the Distinguished Service Medal, Defense Superior Service Medal, Legion of Merit, Bronze Star.
So he's up there with, he's up there kind of on the same level with Mick and Ernie then. You know, yeah, served X amount of time and is decorated.
He's higher than that.
He's a 3-star, right?
So. Yeah. And then that guy, Chris Miller, I think it was, who was, he was acting director of the Secretary of Defense before he stepped down. He consolidated all the special forces. And then the DNI that went out, he did release the report. I think it was on January 6th. Help me out here, dude guy. The report that we were all waiting for from the DIN, the DIA report.
Right.
And go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, they released it about China, about the dangers of China.
And that they weren't heavily involved in the election, and that there was massive election fraud by both foreign and domestic powers. And he released that January 6th. And, of course, we know what happened then.
Very yeah, we were waiting for it. They released it in the middle of the night. They were holding it up so long. I think he released it without having a unanimous agreement on that, but he released it anyway, because I think there was like 17 agencies had to sign off on it, and two or three of them, like the CIA, I don't think would sign off on it or something. There was something that was, they were delaying it. And then it ended up, I remember I brought it up and you hadn't heard about it because I had just found out about myself because it wasn't even a big story when it was finally released. It was some small little blurb, you know, like they weren't trying to let it be known.
Well, that's because the whole January 6th sucked up all the oxygen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That took precedence over every single news story across the board. You know, I mean, hell, even COVID-19 kind of disappeared for a while, did it not?
Well, it certainly didn't seem to affect, the whole situation of, the protesters and they didn't claim that any of the police died from COVID or anything. It was all the protesters' fault from physically attacking them. Then it turned out to be none of it was caused by, you know, being hit with a fire extinguisher or being, trampled
heart,
or something.
Heart attack or, you know, it was a heart attack or just exhaustion or whatever the case may be. It was natural causes. And
Oh, by the way, a little news break. So Eric Carlstrom, I'm probably saying his name wrong, but he was given an interview with Rents, and he says that these people put together a 22-minute or 23-minute documentary about Ashley Babbitt and what really happened there. And he basically is saying she was a plant. She was naval intelligence. She was also an actor. The whole gun thing that shows up, they take the footage of what actually happened. And you could see when he actually pulls the trigger, it would more or less the bullet would hit her in her knee. And they go through it frame by frame, showing all these different people that are around him. And basically Eric Carlstrom, he says the whole thing was a psyop and that Ashley Babbitt's still alive. And that's another reason why we don't know the name of the Capitol Hill policeman or Secret Service or whatever who shot her.
That's a lie.
Right. Yeah.
I think the guy that shot her was actually, it came out that his name was Bailey. So, but they just won't charge him publicly.
Now, it was Ashley Babbitt. She was military,
David,
right?
David Bailey, and he's an immigrant. I think he's from Brazil originally.
But now, Ashley Babbitt was military also, right?
Naval. Naval, okay. 11 years
Air
Navy.
Air Force.
11 years? Okay.
Air Force.
They probably transferred her. She probably got a nice promotion and transfer off-world to the Space Force now for that little deal.
Maybe. Oh, and then Bailey was also a supporter of Black Lives Matter. So they covered a lot of that up. And
that's just facial politic, you know, to kind of throw off the trail. They can, you know, the way they kind of tipsy do these psyops. I mean, that's exactly what they would do. It's like, oh, she couldn't be possibly because she was a supporter of this. Yeah.
Same thing as, what is it? George Floyd's probably sitting somewhere down in the Bahamas, sipping on a pina colada on the beaches right now, enjoying the sun, the moon.
Exactly. Or they're, you know, on the special continent where they all hide and have the cool technology, or they're transferred into different types of programs and given a nice hefty reward, you know, or retirement fund. You go live on Lake Lucerne in a villa for a while if you want.
Yeah, they got to have something to where when they get ready to flip one of these white hats or whatever. I remember listening to Michael Savage, and a Marine captain or a vice admiral or something. He talked about how the Chinese generals would come on the aircraft carrier and they would show him around. It was a program. And Michael Savage was talking to this guy who was, you know, he was definitely hardcore, you know, naval captain, a vice admiral or whatever. And then Michael Savage says, well, you know what I don't understand is, why would we do this? Why would we take the generals of our opposing possible number one enemy and show them all the intricacies of the aircraft carrier and everything that it can do or whatever? And he says, that just doesn't make any sense. And the vice admiral said to Michael Savage, he says, we do it to intimidate them. And then Michael Savage laughed, right? And he goes, oh, it's like, you know, look what these guys can do. Look what they got built. So maybe flip one of the white hats, maybe what they do is they take them to the underground base or maybe to land that we're not supposed to know about. They show them a completely different world, high technology. So by the time the guy's done, he sits back and says, you know, the surface people, they really don't have a chance. Maybe I ought to join these guys. Ding. Maybe it's something like that. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, speaking of the aircraft carriers, I mean, what was it back in the 1990s? They were bringing Chinese firms over here to show how one man can farm, you know, 300 acres of land by himself, because all of their farming over there is industrialized. And, you know, they're all, how do you guys, you know, how does one guy do all this by himself? So, man, they've been. I mean, well, look, during all this stuff going on and everything going down, the COVID-19 and war with China and the crashing, and you know, whatever the case may be, the election or lack thereof, you know, what were the Chinese doing? Oh, that's right. They were burning all their papers in the backyards of their embassies. You know, well, dumpster
that was
fires.
Probably, that was probably the fake ballots they were printing up, because that was right before the election when they started. They basically told them that was a consulate in Texas, and a lot of people thought they were trying to rig Texas through printing all these fake ballots. And then they made them leave. So before they left, they destroyed all the documents and they were burning a lot in the courtyard. And they were burning so much, it seemed pretty unusual because it went on for days. And a lot of people said it could have been the like if they were printing up fake ballots, because there was some rumors about the Chinese being involved in that. In fact, evidence that they had printing companies put up ballots and then bring them into this country. And I know one video of ballots being delivered to the Detroit Counting Center at Cobo Hall had a Chinese appearing man getting out of a vehicle that was delivering them. So I don't know. It's somewhat circumstantial.
Well, you know, the thing that I find that's not circumstantial is you trace the Soros money to the DEAs and the judges that were bought and were elected, and you know, and it even goes into the sheriffs. So this sheriff down there sitting on this audit in Arizona, well, there have been paper trails that have tied him to the Communist Chinese Party. Oh, did I say that out loud? So all this is very real, man.
I'm just saying that that's as much as has gotten out. There's been no direct testimony by parties involved so far. Now, I don't know if they're sitting on that in Maricopa County or in other places and it's about to come out. There's a big story on Populist Press that they're exposing a lot of Ray's involvement in had the FBI in spying on Americans, trying to head off them, exposing information having to do with the elections and other things. So the FBI is actively working against any of this information coming out. So, you know, the ability for them to suppress information is so significant, it looks like, that it's going to take some white hats to protect some of the whistleblowers long enough for them to get the information out.
Yeah, and then along that line, there is a story that broke today, and some people want to say, oh, he was joking. Other people says, no, he's real serious. But the Speaker of the House, McCarthy, has told people close to him that Trump has said that he does want that speakership, and that he's going to go take a run at the House.
That's what I mentioned.
Yeah.
The day. That was the plan that Bannon had been laying out as a possibility. And I said just on the Thursday or Friday show, I said, that's actually the most likely legal way for him to get back, because then it will not depend on the ballot boxes other than in his one district, which they can protect. All he has to do is get elected to Congress, and then the Republicans vote him as Speaker, and then they impeach Biden or Harris, who's ever in there, and with all the evidence they have, and then he's president.
Right. So what the strategy is that they know for a fact that Trump, Mike Lindell says Trump was the one that got the 81 million. Biden only got 67 million. Probably 25 million of that was fake ballots. But so the thinking is that if President Trump runs for the House seat, he'll do what the contract with America did in the midterm, in the off-term election, which was that's what the strategy was for, to nationalize the midterm elections. And so by Trump entering in and running in the midterms, and where everybody's going to know that he's going for Speaker of the House, everybody comes out of the woodwork. They take the House, they take the Senate, and then the scenario that Duke I just laid out, then they find their way to the impeachment and then the installment of the Speaker of the House is third in line. And so that would be legal. So that's the political thinking on it, and it's actually pretty good. That would be one way to completely energize the Republicans, the conservatives, for Trump to run, because midterms you only get about like half the vote compared to a presidential election, and so Trump's people would sweep it. You know, of course they got the Dominion voting, so I don't know how they're going to get through that, but all they got to do is flip.
Just don't use their damn machine. Tell them hell no.
Well, in one district, they could probably get around it. It's just trying to do that with the whole country. They can just put waves and waves of people monitoring every little aspect of it. Plus, there's enough Republican activists in Palm Beach, where they can win that seat. The Democrats had to cheat to win that seat last time. So... I'm sure.
My point to you, guy, is that the only way Trump can become Speaker is that the House has got to flip to Republican, which means they need to pick up, what is it, 5 or 6 seats?
I think that's highly likely. I mean, it's going to be such a wave. It's possible they could hold out, but I really think they're going to get enough. It's likely they would have won this time without all the cheating, but now it's going to be even more. It's going to be even worse for a lot of people. Plus, some people could flip. There could be more Democrats that see which way the wind's blowing and want to jump ship, like Manchin in the Senate. You know, so you get a few of those and you flip a few seats, you got it. I mean, the Democrats may even approach him and say, "Hey, we're going to give you a really good deal, better than you're getting now, to come over to our side." And, you're going to be loved by a huge part of the country. So
it's pretty obvious that anything that those folks over there on the left side of the aisle touch turns to poo. The complete opposite of Midas touch. You know, Midas, you know, everything, King Midas, everything he touched turned to gold. These people, everything they touch, it turns to fecal material, man. It's really something to behold. I mean.
Right. And so before we go, both good news and bad news. The good news is that if we did have this wave of death, I mean, a massive wave of death coming this fall, we wouldn't see some of the movements or how relaxed people are. We would see a gearing up. We would see more machinations of the government getting ready to brace themselves for this wave. So the very fact that they're not tells me that there's not going to be like 50 million people that die, you know, come fall. That's the good news. The bad news is because the government keeps on talking about white supremacists, is that they are gearing up and preparing to treat the, the Caucasian people, Republicans, conservatives, Christians, you know, that side of the party, they're getting ready to gear up to put so much pressure on them that they're going to actually create terrorists, domestic terrorists. Just like what you read on your show, John Wayne.
Yeah.
What they were doing to those 500 guys that are all locked up. I can tell you right now, they've all hardened up. Well, you go through the system, you go through jail a couple of times, you get hardened up until, I mean, like me, 34 times, it's like water off my back. I mean, it's like, you know, what else you got to throw at me? But some of those guys, they're going to be really angry. And when they release them, some of them are going to say, I'm going to get your ass for what you did to me, because they've never gone through it. And so they feel extremely violated. So because they are saying white supremacists, they seem to be already setting up and in motion. Dude God mentioned it before, setting up panels and pre-crime type people.
All right, well, notice how all these shootings and whatnot dissipated from it being some Arab, middle-aged male of Arabic descent, to now 3/4 of this is a white guy lost his lid, and now he's went off the deep end, you know. And then, like I said, look how many of these situations have FBI agents in there trying to set the whole thing up just so they can say, "Oh, we got the bad guy." You did. What are you talking about? You were talking to him and helping him get all his gear together, man. You know, so.
I will say one thing. The United States government has been fully exposed. It's been delegitimized. Everything is out in the open now. I mean, we used to guess on how deep the unseen hand was, or who was connected to this, and how did all this work. Now we can see the full demonic matrix of the whole network. And, you know, my God, it is immense. It is like, wow, who would have thunk it? I mean, truly, truly, it's shocking.
Well, it's like that corporations map. I'm pretty sure you've seen it. It has like, I don't know, like 500,000 corporations. It looks like a huge spider web. And how, you know, they're connected that, you know.
Infiltrators.com is back once again to talk about gold, silver, and the precious metals investors.
We've got audio in the background. It's all right, you got a big deal. But, you know, yeah, this is an immense.
Yeah, like the interlocking corporations and how all these people sit on each other's board. I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is an immense maniacal machine that's hell-bent on the destruction of the human species. I mean, that's pretty damn plain and, you know, cut. I mean,
forget the human species. The first ones on the menu are the white people, the white supremacists.
Well, look at South Africa. Yeah, look at South Africa, you know. Man, if people had any idea and a grasp of any form of knowledge on the apartheid that's taking place in South Africa right now, you know, y'all been fairly warned. Y'all been warned, and I've told you. You know, I told you it's the same as the invasion there was taking place from the Middle East into Europe. Your country's being overthrown over there, fellas. The same thing's going to happen here in this country, and it is. And I've told and I've warned, and I can warn some more, what's happening over in South Africa right now, the apartheid against the colonizers, you know, the white folk. Well, guess what? They plan on doing that here in these United States. You all been warned. Let's everybody listen to the broadcast. Go ahead. Whoever wants to jump in.
Well, yeah, I've talked about this, and this is the plan for how to insert Marxism to take over an economy that has a lot of valuable natural resources and assets that the big elitists want to take over for next to nothing. They don't want to pay for any of this stuff. They just want to take it. And so instead of directly taking it, they have, you know, the communists say, oh, it's for the good of all that we take this. And this is what they did in Russia, too. After the communism fell, ironically enough, they went in and said they were privatizing it for the good of everyone. And then they just took it and started exploiting all the public utilities and natural resources of Russia for their own private gain. Well, the flip side of that is when a more capitalist society is going to fall because their central bank has been, you know, milking them dry. And now it's ready to collapse. They say, oh, capitalism doesn't work. We're going to have to bring in communism, and this will be for the good of the people. And then, of course, they set up – communism still has banking in their version, and communism still has state-run corporations that then just have corrupt ways of channeling all the profits and benefits to the insiders, who are, of course, part of the, you know, quote unquote Communist Party, which is just a private club of people who get all the benefits that the country has to offer while telling everyone else it has to work this way for everyone's own good. You know, so it's just propaganda that masks or camouflages their elite graft. And that's what they're doing. That's what they did in South Africa.
You know, it almost makes me wonder if the Verizon stores and the Nike stores and whatever other places have been looted and burnt down. Is that enough for the reparations that they were allotted or what they were looking for? You know, the Verizon phone, a new pair of sneakers or something of that effect. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be.
The Obama phone?
Well, Obama phone. You know I got one. Obama phone. Yeah, that woman, man. Wow. And the mentality of such things. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, society is pretty well dumbed down. But, you know, to the degree for which we're seeing it, man, we can't allow this to continue. No more Common Core. No more absolute propagandizing the children within the public indoctrination centers. You know, I mean, we're in bad shape.
Well, they're just trying to save the kids from getting the vaccine. So it just doesn't fry their brain or kill them at this point. It's not even the curriculum. In order to go back to school this fall, the government wants to vaccinate all these children. It's insane. So you know, that's how far it's gotten.
And that right there, that's when the line in the sand needs to be drawn. And any of the children that are forced to take this thing, hey, man, you can do homeschooling. To the hell with your public indoctrination. Your socializing of your Marxist, commune, fascist, socialist agenda. To the hell with these people and their ideologies. It's really something.
You know, I was talking to a friend of mine earlier before the broadcast, and he lives in Spain. He lives in Malaga. And I asked him, I said, well, you know, how's the tourist? Because he's in a real touristy area. It's really nice. I said, how's the touristy stuff? He says, oh, you know, it's coming back. They have to wear masks inside, but not outside. But then he said, everything they're requiring you to have, your little proof of vaccination, or your some sort of vaccine passport. There's virtually no place over there that you can go without having to show some sort of, you know, compliance, which it's like,
y'all play for this, please.
We got
a BitChute video I'm looking at right now that just was posted the other day where you can't get into New York City public parks. Even the kids can't go in without proof of vaccination.
Yeah, we got to fight this crap. I mean, you know, I don't know if the vaccine is actually going to, you know, what's going to happen if it does actually start killing people. You know, eventually, obviously, then will people realize? Number two, it's a principle, but would a person even want to be around vaccinated people? I mean, let's say I wanted to go to a comedy club. Well, I'd be pretty pissed off that I couldn't go in unless I showed proof of vaccination and even if I had to wear a mask. But let's say they said, you know what, sir, we don't care. If you want to come in, you can come in. I don't think I'd want to go in anyway, knowing that I'm surrounded by a bunch of people that just got this experimental shot that isn't even a vaccine anyway, right, obviously. And, you know, that there's so it's kind of like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. I mean, we have to, like, quarantine ourselves now because they're making toxic people. It's what I was afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
Super spreaders. Know,
I went to get my prescriptions refilled from the pharmacy, and I'm standing there, and saw this woman and this man come walking in, and they got the mask on. So it's a dead giveaway. Okay, that's their mindset. This is where they're at. So the woman standing there, I'd say probably anywhere between 50 and 56 of age, both of them. She's wearing shorts. Guess what was all over her legs? These red blotches. Man, I'll tell you what. As soon as I saw that, I was like, holy shit. I mean, I made sure I maintained enough distance, right?
I've seen pictures of the reactions that people get those rashes. Go ahead.
Yeah, she had this absolutely horrific red splotchy all over her legs. And she was wearing a mask. And you could tell these people took the shot just as plain as day. Hell, they had to have two of them probably. You know, well, we can't just go with just one. Well, yeah, honey, we can just go get the other one. Ooh, you know, so yeah, man, this is true. These people have been made toxic. And who's to say, you know, I mean, as the inversion continues to move ever much more increasingly into the future, who's to say that these people that have been shot up with this stuff aren't the ones that will be quarantined and camped because of them being toxic? It'd be more or less the new form of leprosy.
Well, if people gain their senses and the public figures it out, that would be the reasonable thing. Although in this age of inversion, you know, it could look like, I mean, they could have it rigged in a way that, you know, the toxic people make the unvaccinated sick as well. And then they flip that and say, oh, it's because the unvaccinated. And, you know, there's so many different directions this could go. But, yeah, those that can do, you know, critical thinking and logic and common sense, obviously, you know, like the people on this call. And hopefully that's the question. Are there more of us than them? Are there more reasonable thinking people out there that are going to be able to take a hold of reins and say, let's nip this crap in the bud now? Or are there more people that are just, the masses are too stupid, we have too many zombies, we're going to be overrun, there's just the numbers are against us?
Well, a lot of people stop showing up to get the jab, so there's at least a decent number.
Yeah, I went by a COVID clinic the other day. I was going to the store driving around, and you know, giving the BMW a workout, and I saw this place used to be a JCPenney home store, and they had the doors open. I drove up, and they didn't have any cars. There's nobody there. There's one person in all her material with her little face shield and all that. And you look inside, and it was just empty. I mean, it's like COVID clinic, and they had the little lines so you can drive your car up and get tested or a shot. Nobody there. She came running out.
Yeah, I saw one too. I saw one too at our mall. They converted an old Staples or something, and I took a picture of it in my phone, actually, because it had all the accoutrement, but nobody was there.
Yeah.
It was,
kind of, well, you know, they stopped erecting the outside drive through things here, and now you can get them at the pharmacies or wherever, you know. Yeah, nobody's, you know, yeah, people are waking up. It's like, hey, man, yeah, Uncle Fred died.
We should start trolling them. We should start trolling them. Get people to go up and say, look, I don't want a donut. I want a dozen donuts every day. If I get my shot, I want a full dozen. I want it in writing contract. Then you got a deal. They're giving away $1 million in the other state.
If you eat a dozen donuts. If you eat a dozen donuts every day, you won't need to take the shot to have a heart attack.
You're going to live off them. You got a new plan.
He died of Krispy Kreme-itis.
I found out I don't have to shop for food. I just live off Krispy Kreme and be protected by COVID at the same time.
Well, you know, I mean, it is something to behold, and you know, it's already killing people. I've lost a friend, my dad and his friend, their other friend, you know, three men. One of his wife died. I know a woman that worked with my mom and dad. She took it. Her kidneys have failed. She's in total kidney failure now. So people are already dying from it. And the thing about it is when these people die from it, they more typically have to go straight to the incinerator, right? Because, well, I mean, they're already doing tissue tests on cadavers and showing how they're just completely inundated with this, what is it? The spike protein, right?
Yeah. So, honeycombs the organs and stuff.
Right.
So it's turning the autoimmune response against them because your body's trying to attack the spike protein that you're making.
Yep.
So,
I mean, they've literally weaponized the human body against itself. Isn't that something?
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that's why no really, you know, person that is knowledgeable in this area could claim that this is something they could not foresee. And I had covered a story a couple weeks ago by some Canadian scientist that tried to claim that he worked on this vaccine development of this COVID, you know, vaccine, and that they didn't understand that these negative side effects could happen now that they're coming to light, you know, because they were rushing it. Yeah. But they've been working on these types of mRNA vaccines for years, and all the different animal tests that they had done was always extremely negative side effects, that animals would die, you know, pretty much all of them.
And if we could figure it out, you know, I mean, my goodness, it doesn't take a brain surgeon. Hey, it's been fun, fellas. Y'all have a good one. Ciao, ciao.
Absolutely.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Yep. Good night and Godspeed. Hey, Deacon. See you later. Didn't say much. But yeah, I'm signing off tonight for official. So, John Wayne, over and out. Godspeed, everybody.
Truth Jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this Truth Jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
fire. Children at the cannons.
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at